help us to commence with hymn number 13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Number 13.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Gospel according to John chapter 3. Third chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Now there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved, the margin discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. And there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing, or take unto himself, that is, a man can receive nothing, except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. No man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Lord bless his word. Amen. Lord, what need we have to come with those disciples. Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, it's not words, and it is not how we speak, but it is whether or not there is that vital importunity and indicting. Grant it, we beseech thee. Lord, leave us not to a form of words or a round of service without the power, without the Spirit of God, without application, even to the dividing asunder. We read of soul and spirit. Thus, Lord, may we know that gracious work of God in our hearts, or else we mock thee. But we would come, Lord, with those that feel so empty, that feel to need thee, Lord, to be Alpha and Omega. One has said, leave not my soul destitute. Lord, do grant the evening of thy day grace all sufficient. Lord, how we seem to need thee with those on the road to Emmaus. When Jesus himself drew near, the mighty Saviour, one that could come and can come where sinners are. Well, may we know it this evening, Lord, how often we may think upon those verses, but then we fail to need thee this evening. Lord, remember us as we gather in thy sight, and our lives may be very short. We pray that thou make us right and keep us right and bring us right. Lord, we pray that thou bless the Sabbath school. Lord, remember the young ones, and Lord, do be very mindful of them. We thank thee for them and pray that thou bless them. We think of the mothers of Salem that brought his children unto Jesus. Lord, we pray that thou grant thy blessing upon them, and remember those that wait upon thee. We seek, Lord, that thou grant thy blessing to each seeking soul, those, Lord, that may feel that they haven't got much at all, and Lord, to grant the increase. We pray that thou bless the church and grant the church that sweet prosperity and wisdom too. We pray that thou remember those, Lord, that may be in the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that thy house may be filled according to thy good pleasure. And we pray, Lord, for those that are heavy laden with sin, and many, many doubts and fears, and yet maybe that knowledge of defilements, of sin, the separating nature of it. Can ever God dwell here? Lord, to grant the atonement, the preaching of the cross, the precious blood to be known, the fountain springing up. Grant, O Lord, the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed to be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. For those, Lord, that may watch and wait, if there is anything, for those deep-dyed sinners, Lord, those that feel to need thee, Lord, to come and cleanse them throughly. Grant the word and truth of the gospel. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. We pray for the application and knowledge of it, the new covenant blessings in the precious blood of Jesus. We desire, Lord, to come and pray that thou not leave us to bondage. Leave us not, Lord, to ourselves. Oh, how we are reminded of it so much. Lord, loose him and let him go. We pray that thou wouldst grant that in the pew and the pulpit too. We pray that thou wouldst remember the office bearers and do be mindful of them. Hear their prayers, that, Lord, we pray that thou remember that those that carry responsibilities. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember the churches lest they die. Lord, is there not a burden of heart that thou wilt return? Blessed Spirit of Truth. Oh, the deadness, and we feel it. Oh, the great need for the Spirit to be poured upon us. Lord, to grant it personally, and in the churches. Remember our land, have mercy upon us. And oh, we pray that thou wilt remember our sovereign royal house at this time. Lord, to grant there may be a speaking voice for those things which have taken place, but Lord, to separate from the carnal influences, and it seems to mirror the state of men's hearts and lives, that there is no God to fear at all. Lord, do remember us still. Overturn, overturn those devices that are present for the rejection of thy truth, and to take down the bulwarks and to undermine the foundations of our very national life. Lord, do overturn, remember us still. Lord, do grant deliverances inwardly now in our land, and do appear. We would be amongst those that seek unto thee. Help us to be thankful for thy many mercies, for thy goodness. Lord, and do grant a thankful heart from sin set free. Lord, do grant us help of God to be faithful in a few things. And leave us not, O Lord, to a gospel which is another. And help us, Lord, to be faithful. We ask that thou art come. Lord, fulfill the desire of every living thing. Remember little ones at home, and we pray for older ones at university. Remember each one. We ask that thou help us. Remember us still. Oh, how we need thee. We ask that we may be made acceptable unto the brethren. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn number 14. Begin, my tongue, some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Number 14.
Thank you.
So Lord, may help me, I would direct your prayerful attention again to the third chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 3, reading verses 29 and 30. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. We notice firstly the words as they are in the verse or verses. And then we desire to speak as the Lord may direct us concerning the word of the Lord to his dear people. Because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now very, very clearly these are the words that are recorded here as spoken by John the Baptist, a faithful man of God. He was that man that was not ashamed to speak the word that God was pleased to give him to proclaim. We read much of John the Baptist in the third chapter of Matthew. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And again, when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance or answerable to amendment of life. And he spoke so faithfully to those that said, we have Abraham to our father. He said, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. And yet the baptism of John, right, God-given, must fall short because we read of the Lord Jesus and his baptism, which is the baptism of the Spirit and of truth. But nonetheless, was John appointed of God, but we must speak rightly, friends. Evidently there was a need for that more heavenly pattern. We read of it in the scriptures. And Priscilla and Aquila spoke of it. We believe there is need then for that particular baptizing of the Spirit of God. And then the following in the footsteps of the dear Redeemer. Although there are many, many things that John recorded, not less are there those faithful things that the Lord Jesus spoke of, but that is the pattern of the Scripture. The Lord Jesus must be all in all to his church. We read a judgment must begin at the house of God. We read of it in Timothy, I believe. And so the ministry of the Lord Jesus was exceedingly searching. And we think for a moment of the words of the Lord Jesus in the chapter to Nicodemus And he declared, ye must be born again. He came to Jesus by night, and so we believe the man to be under the influence of the Spirit of God, but yet he must hear faithful preaching. The Lord Jesus speaks in this chapter many things concerning the gospel and the preaching of it. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. No gospel without the serpent being lifted up. And the awful malady revealed that in some measure known and felt before ever, that we shall truly know the truths in those immortal words that whosoever believeth. Remember our dear brother Mr. Curley said, it doesn't say whosoever believe not, whosoever believeth. God given living faith that separates. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world through him might be saved. You know, friends, I fully was persuaded this morning that we would perhaps speak this evening as we might be spared from Luke chapter 24, where we read similar truths that we tried to speak from this morning in a very feeble way. Lord, come into my house and abide there. In that beautiful chapter, we read Jesus himself drawing near. And we read that they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is toward evening, the day is far spent. What sweet sacred truths, but we feel directed to this text. And I must speak as the Lord may help me a little. We desire to come upon the truth of it experimentally. The words of the Lord Jesus are so clear and faithful. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ. Words of John, but that I am sent before him. Now, I want to come to these words in the text. Firstly, we read of the bride and the bridegroom. Oh, how sweet and sacred that truth. The bridegroom is not without his bride from everlasting. According to the glorious purposes of God, there should be a bride, and thus it was that out of the ruins of the fall, they should be given to Christ from everlasting. Truth of God for it. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And then we think of John under the influence and power of the Spirit of God, as he was a bright and burning light, and yet soon his work was done. That soon the dear man must go into that prison. And so the Lord took him. That the work of God was finished in his soul, and the witness was in his death. And he speaks here so fervently, and so feeling, so faithfully, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. It seems as if it's so close to his heart, isn't it? But he speaks of the friend of the bridegroom. That really it is. That word that he speaks of as he, by God's grace, a friend of God is with Abraham. Now that thus he is able to see a little of the truth in the text as he looked upon the Son of God, the Lamb of God. It's in the verses, isn't it? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the sin of the church, that, and we might say, every true coming sinner that comes to the light, that cannot hide, that is willing to be searched. Search me, O God. Look well in my life, that we spoke of a dear man this morning, how he had the effect of God's grace, doesn't he, in his heart. He said, the half of my goods I give to the poor. But nothing hidden away, was there? And so it is where God's grace shines. You know, there's a particular desire to be made manifest. He that's, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. Not so a living child of God. And so the dear man, it seems to me, he feels by God's grace to be a friend of the bridegroom. Really, he was a servant of God, wasn't he? The forerunner. And thus he speaks of one looking on, and he views the bride and the bridegroom. And friends, his heart seems to grow warm, doesn't it? And the sweet truth of it. He that hath the bride as a bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him. It's a measure, friends, of how much God has set him apart to be that forerunner. Faithful man, and yet so humble. Friend of the bridegroom indeed. And really all those that are separated by God's grace must know a little of that truth. But we sometimes sing of it, a friend there is. Your voices join ye saints to praise his name. It's not just an acquaintance, but friends, it is that knowledge of God's grace to the soul. And in the fullness of it, it is that brother born for adversity, friend of sinners. The Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and to know him with the apostle. I may know him. The friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And I believe it really sets forth, friends, that the dear man in the last few, shall we say, months or the times that God permits, it seems as if he dwells upon these sacred truths that he had dwelt upon and that looked upon as he saw the Lamb of God and the Bride of Christ. And he rejoices. And I believe it is manifest in these words that it was a heavenly rejoicing, wasn't it? Over the bride and the bridegroom. And I believe he had that sweet anticipation that the Lord that would fulfill his ministry. And he would be one of those faithful servants gathered in. And so there are a few things here which may be spoken of by way of doctrine. The bride and the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, the one that is brought to know and to discern that by the Spirit of God that the wonderful nature, or two natures, the Son of God, the Son of Man, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The glorious truth of the atonement and the wonderful nature of it that taketh away, friend. It removes it as far as the east is from the west. Is that what some of you need this evening? Now, Lord, to grant it to your soul that you might feel to be among God's people, amongst those that can say, he loved me with an everlasting love. Is there an exercise about it? Oh, to know that sweet truth that John spoke, behold, look upon it. He's the Lord, doesn't he? But to use the ministry. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. My friends, it seems as if his soul is bound up in it. It seems as if that is his ministry. It seems as if that is the sum and substance of it. Christ and him crucified, a doctrine so sweet to his heart, although there are many things hidden. And yet, as a friend, so it was made known to him by grace divine. And you know, it wasn't a borrowed religion, was it? What the Lord gave to him to give or to speak, the bride and the bridegroom. It seems to sum it up, doesn't it? The most defiled by sin, the bride of Christ. The one so cast out and yet made comely. It's righteousness divine, isn't it? One so deformed and alienated and utterly opposed and dark and hard and wretched, and yet to be brought nigh by the blood of Christ. But you feel like that. Is it true doctrine you want? Or do you need the Lord to grant a little of that doctrine of his love to know something savingly? Or let me put it like this. Could you be able to say, hey John, that's it. That's what I need. Lift him up. And the dear man, John the Baptist, speaks, doesn't he, of leaving all things here below. The measure, isn't it, of the love of God in his heart, the faithfulness unto his master. But there are a few things in the text. The friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He says, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. That's his joy. He must increase, but I must decrease. So I want to notice firstly, if I may say, how these words belong unto John the Baptist, separated of God, but unto this great work, and faithful. And of course he suffered for it, and was falsely and choose, but we see God's sovereign purposes. Perhaps a dear man prayed that all was brought at times to pray that the Lord would spare him. No. He comes to this most glorious truth. He must increase, but I must decrease. It's the measure, friends, of God's grace in his heart, the work God had given him, the love to the Lord and the willingness to leave all in the hands of God. And so these things belong to John. And that's how we just touch upon it firstly. As a friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, not his voice, or for that more excellent ministry, for that sweet truth that, you know, it's almost as if it sprung up in his heart. I believe that's the truth concerning John the Baptist, that the Lord was with him. And friends, he'd got an anointing. And that anointing brought to this most searching and vital and God-glorifying truth. He must increase, but I must decrease. You see, it belongs to him in his course and the Lord's will concerning him. And then I want to speak as God may graciously help me. Now these words I feel belong to the Lord's dear people. That's how it strikes me. In the opening hymn, I must be very careful, but I did notice in that hymn, "My soul thou hast let what will ail an ever-changing friend." It's the way into the word here, experimentally, friend of the bridegroom, by God's grace, once the enmity of this best friend, this wretched state of man, I wonder how many of us are convinced of it through and through. "Woe is me," said another, "I'm undone. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And yet, it speaks of this friend. Now really, I believe what it sets forth is this, the wondrous love of God, the friend of sinners. Not because their sins, not because that they would be better, but friends, divine love that swells above our faults. And that's what we need a little touch of, isn't it, in our hearts, a little of this love of God. You know, it'll set free those poor labouring souls that say, I can't believe, I seem to believe so far, but I need the Lord to help me to truly believe. And those that may be at a full stop, unbelief has overtaken them. Or can they say, "Well, I'll just read in God's word and all will be well"? They want the Lord to open the book, and they need the Lord to appear in it. We read in Revelation the Lord opening the book. And that's what the Lord's people need. You know, it's not the letter, is it? Friends, it's the sweet Spirit of God, isn't it? We might say unlocking the bolts and bars and two-leaf gates too in our poor hearts, and to come and to let go his prisoners, and to bring them up out of their out of their prison houses. That's what we read of in the Gospel. And to let go of those, friends, they're bound with twice 10,000 chains. Sometimes we have to preach like that. Oh, and it's when the Lord sets free these prisoners. And sweetly, what do they do? They go to their own company. Is it? It's something according to the nature of God's grace. They'll be found amongst their own company. A few poor, needy sinners, but their hearts are made true. They won't be hiding things. Friends, they're made honest before God. But you know, the truth of it is this, that repentance flows freely through this Lamb of God and His precious blood. We're no strangers to that. Or that repentance which is in Christ Jesus. How needful. And the matter of it is this, friends, in that springing up of the fountain, that there is a God-given repentance. It's according to the riches of God's grace. Read of one that was full of words and his own deeds, but justified himself. And so, friends, it will be but for God's immortal grace. Then we speak of it in the Gospel, if God may help me. The friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him. Oh, there's something precious, isn't there? That when there are those that hear that the shepherd's voice. Why was I made to hear his voice and enter whilst there's room? Or thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. But it's in the Gospel, separating truth of it, isn't it? And then, you know, it is a sweet debt, isn't it, to God's grace. And then to hear something of that voice of pardon. You know, that's a vital thing. That is this little joy, or this great joy, if you see the truth of it, that's springing up here and there. The voice of love and mercy. It's in the shepherd's voice. It's that still small voice, isn't it? Yea, I have loved thee. I spoke of it this morning. An everlasting love. But then, you know, it is the voice of the heavenly bridegroom. I thought of it with regard to the spouse of Christ. Well, it is that if the Lord puts us among those dear saints of God that are found coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon the beloved, the church of the living God. That they're leaning. They're not supporting God's throne. They're leaning upon all sufficient grace. We read so many places of that sweet voice, the voice of my beloved. Behold, He cometh. Is that what you need? Lord, to come upon the mountains. Behold, He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He can touch the mountains and make them into plains. Oh, how it belongs to our heavenly Zerubbabel, doesn't it? Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Lord, you know that there's something ever so sweet when the Lord reaches the hearts of his people, that the bride of Christ draws their affection from afar. Lord, they'll be going out unto him. And friends, they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow. Oh, the friend of the bridegroom. That those that hear his sweet voice. There's nothing sweeter, if I may say, the voice of love and mercy to those that have sinned against light and knowledge. And are as far off as ever can be. And there's a voice of sovereign grace. Loose him and let him go. When the Lord speaks, friends, he that made the earth, oh, does he not make all things new in the hearts of his dear people? You know what I mean, if the Lord has touched your heart, the Lord will grant that sweet repentance and knowledge and grace of God. To be going out unto him and not counting the cost. You'll go with those that friends they need him. And his voice is so comely, isn't it? We may not see him, but hear his voice. We read in the scriptures those that see him not, yet rejoice and rejoice with joy unspeakable and unto full of glory, unto glory. Though now you see him not, perhaps there's some like that. Oh, that I could see. Oh, that the Lord might take the veil away. The Lord might appear. Sweet is thy voice, thy countenance is comely. As I said this morning, it needs a heart upright. My beloved spake and said, rise up, my love, from this wretched state, defiled by sin, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. Many sweet hymns about it. Well, friends, the Lord grants that sweet touch, you know. It delivers from this poor, vain and empty world. Oh, it is that voice of love and mercy, the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly. Because of the bridegroom's voice. Well, there are many applications of it, but I think of the voice in his precious blood. Oh, it's a sweet voice, isn't it, to poor guilty souls. A voice that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You know, that voice can pronounce pardon to the ends of the earth. Oh, it is the word of a king, isn't it? Oh, it's the virtue. Healing virtue. And his precious sin atoning. Separating. Sin atoning blood. The Lord grant thee the sweet truth of it because of the bridegroom's voice. Oh, that is a good voice, isn't it, to his poor bride, that feels that surely the Lord will cast them off. Surely they've sinned away. What light and knowledge they have, that they must be cast out. You know, that voice is one of love and mercy, isn't it? Him writes, though thy sins beyond recounting, like pointed mountains. There is a sweet fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. For the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And then I want to be exceedingly clear. Friends, how little that we seem to live with that true desire we're soon overtaken of. Trifles of the day, perhaps some of you know what I mean, seem to carry you away. You know, when the Lord began with me, there's many conflicts. And I thought, I've got to remind myself to try and seek the Lord's mercy through the day. It's absolutely legal. Bondage. But you know, it's when the Lord comes so sweetly and flows over all our many, many backslidings. When he pardons crimson sin. When he brings the atonement, friends, and sweetly makes it known. Or is there washing, isn't there? You read of it in the song. Going down to the washing. It's a good day, isn't it, when the Lord appears. And your sins, friends, they are no more to be found. I hope I know something of that. You can't find them because the Lord has granted a sweet visit. In the name of Jesus, exceedingly precious, isn't it, to sinners? That feel to be able to say the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his name. Welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, this voice of love and mercy. You know, it's that voice that we read of, a still small voice. We read of that voice that Jesus speaks. And there is a power with it. You know, it reaches right to the heart, the inmost life. And there is a sweet knowledge of it. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And it may be, if it's a word of commandment. It is the Lord. The throne in light, whose claims are all divine. There's an undisputed right to govern me and mine. It may come, it's in the exercises. Lord's dear people, it is I, be not afraid. The Lord here it is. Oh, it's a vital consideration, friends, that something, it reaches the very heart. You remember in the word of God that he cast the salt in there, the dear prophet, and healed the waters. Well, it's a beautiful type of the gospel. Doesn't mean to say we not feel the malady anymore. And the dreadful wanderings of our hearts. Sometimes we get like this, don't we? We hardly need a hiding place. My friends, it's a wretched state, isn't it, of our poor hearts. And yet, grace is all sufficient. I must come a little further. The dear man of God seems to be ready to depart, doesn't he? Would to God, I speak very carefully, would to God that their older friends have got a religion like this, and I need one too. Ready to depart. The dear man of God was really sweetly blessed with that willingness to fall into the will of God. He said, because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. We may speak of it like this, that there was a time when that he was brought into the sweet knowledge that it was the Lord, and that the Lord was with him. It seems to me that he had some very good apprehension that his time was short. And he says, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. But some of the dear saints of God I've known, friends, the Lord has touched their hearts, that they're ready to depart. About some, the Lord takes home, friends, with his wonderful grace, although there are many, many, many dark seasons. But you know, the Lord brings them home, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. We cannot trust on frames and feelings. Do you know the matter is this? Do we possess the root of the matter? What if God should come? How will it be? We read in Matthew many solemn things of the bridegroom's voice, don't we? At midnight was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go. Be out to meet him. There's no discharge in that war. Then it seems to me a very sweet word, doesn't it? This my joy therefore is fulfilled. It was Christ, wasn't it? And the bridegroom's voice. And the bride and the bridegroom. But something more. This was the joy of his heart. He must increase, that I must decrease. Oh friends, what words are these? He must increase, but I must decrease. We cannot really separate these words here. If he increases, we shall decrease. Rather, it is the truth, isn't it? Here is the conviction of sin and the knowledge of our need of Christ. I must decrease. Perhaps there's some great trial and trouble. You don't know why it's sin, or what afflictions or troubles there are. But friends, what about this word, if the Lord puts it right against your great trouble? I must decrease, but he must increase. It's a good word, isn't it? The Lord, he works this truth so often. Brings his people to fall under it. He must increase, but I must decrease. There's not one sense of God that doesn't know this very, very well. He must increase, but I must decrease. There's a hymn very, very much upon my mind just lately. 888. Not at no wit or will of man, or at learning he may boast, no power of reason can draw sinners unto Christ, no. So fallen is nature, such a flaw none come, except the Father draw, and he doth. His spirit must disclose a deadly plague within. Uncover all our woes and show the man of sin. And feeling thus our ruined state, we humbly fall at Jesus' feet. There was a dear woman that came there and told him all. He must increase, I must decrease. Really, friends, it's the gospel. And also, it reminds me of the doctrine of the cross. We need it, if I may say, when we rise and when we retire. He must increase, but I must decrease. But we're not without the comforts and many, many favours. But he must increase, but I must decrease. And sometimes it's brought very much home to us. Maybe on borrowed time, so to speak. We assume that we shall see the light of another year. Sometimes I think of it like this. Well, you know, we could be dead and buried, but where shall our souls be? Before so many days and months or years have passed, he must increase, but I must decrease. There's something ever so precious in it. Friends, there will be a decrease. Health and strength fail, maybe many, many things. Oh, to have that inner man increase. The sweet hope in the Lord Jesus. And those that God touches their hearts, you know, at times they are able to see that the Lord will appear. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. It's a great matter. You must increase, but I must decrease. It's the preaching, the cross, and friends, we may have to walk in things we never thought of. He must think this proud eye. But as God touched it, he must increase, but I must decrease. It always justifies itself. Friends, when the Lord is pleased to touch the heart, there is that sweet knowledge of him. He must increase, but I must decrease. Well, I must leave a few things. That's how it seemed to open to me. The words of John and then the application of it to the Lord's people. Friend of the bridegroom. Those that know his voice. Those that are able to say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Let's leave a few things. May God forgive anything I've said amiss. We feel to have come so far short today. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day were £835, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting. And Mr. Robert Field is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening with the service in the vestry. And Mr. John Rosier is expected next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 187. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace, causing them to hear his call and before his power to fall. 187.
Continuation, the drying weather, may there be answers of peace. Lord, do remember this people, and keep them as the apple of thine eye. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you. Amen.